Welcome to Hope Sabbath School, an in-depth, interactive study of the Word of God. This has been an amazing series on Isaiah, the gospel prophet. Today's one of my favorite studies, Messiah, the desire of all nations. And I want to welcome you to Hope Sabbath School and welcome to the team. Here we are. Take a look. They're saying, are you practicing social distancing? Well, here we are, just five instead of 12. But we've discovered that God can work with a small group just as much as a large group. Amen?
Amen.
And we're excited that you're part of our Hope Sabbath School. I'm also thankful and excited that Stephanie's going to be teaching today. What a great study this will be. Jesus is going to be lifted up in this study because Jesus is the true Messiah. We've got a special gift for you as part of this series. Maybe some of you have already requested it, but it's an audiobook, a digital download of the book Radical Evidence. I'm so excited because it includes not only the prophecies of Isaiah, but also all of the Old Testament prophecies pointing to Jesus, plus stories from today of lives transformed by encountering Jesus. You can receive your copy absolutely free. All you have to do is write to our regular email address, sshope@hopetv.org, and just in the subject line, put free offer. We would love to send you a copy of that audiobook. You can download Radical Evidence, and you can share it with your friends. It's our gift to you. Well, we're always happy to hear from Hope Sabbath School members around the world, right? This is from a Fijian family living in Scotland. That's a first,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I'm your brother, Emosi, originally from Fiji, currently working in Scotland. On behalf of the little group here in Scotland, Elgin, we want to thank you for Hope Sabbath School. You're all on fire with the sharing of the Word of God, and God be praised for that. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
We look forward to the day when we'll have Hope Sabbath School with our blessed hope,
Amen.
Our Master and Savior, the Lord. May the Lord keep us all faithful till He comes. Amen. Well, Emosi, your family and the group that meets there in Elgin, Scotland, we're glad you're part of our Hope Sabbath School family. Thanks for writing to us. Here's a note from Sherry in Australia. And Travis, this really touched my heart, this one. I know you went and studied for a while in Australia, but Sherry writes and says, all of my life, I have tried to hide from God. But listening to Hope Sabbath School, I now know how much He loves me.
Amen.
Amen.
Wow.
Somebody's saying
yeah.
that.
Amen.
Isn't that awesome?
Yeah.
I now know how much He loves me. Yeah. Sherry, thank you for writing to us, not just to encourage us, but there was someone watching today. There is someone watching who needs to know we don't have to hide from God.
Yeah.
He loves us so much. Thank you so much. Here's a note from Mons and Julie in California, in the United States. Dear Hope Sabbath School, my wife and I enjoy Hope Sabbath School online each week via the Hope Channel app. So if you haven't downloaded the app on your smartphone, just go to your App Store or to Google Play and download Hope Channel. You'll be able to watch Hope Sabbath School. You'll be able to watch other programs, even other languages. There are many different channels around the world you'll be able to access. It's a free app called Hope Channel. When I teach, writes Mons, the Sabbath School class at our church, I use the Hope Sabbath School outline in our discussion and study. Well, you can do that too. Thank you, Mons, for writing to us from California. You can download that outline from hopetv.org/hopeSS, and you can share it with your whole class and have an in-depth, interactive study of the Word of God. Here's a note from some donors, a couple living in Georgia. And I just want to pause and say thank you to all of our partners in mission, because we're a donor-supported ministry. Your support helps join in the miracle that God's doing. My husband and I, the donor writes, watch your program, even though we're not Seventh-day Adventists, but the Word of God is all we need to keep our faith grounded in Him. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
You know, this class is for everyone. In fact, we have people who are exploring the Christian faith, discovering that the Bible is a reliable witness. These prophecies we're studying about are truly remarkable. There is a God in heaven who knows the end from the beginning. Mm-hmm. Blessings on all, the donors write. We know the names of most of you. Love and blessings always. and a gift of $100 to help Hope Sabbath School.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you so much, Georgia, for being part of the miracle. We're glad you're part of our Hope Sabbath School family. Here's one last note from Peter and Carol in Arizona in the United States of America. We watch your Bible study each week without fail. It has been such an inspiration for us over the years. We continue to pray for all of you. Do we need their prayers?
Amen. Oh, yes.
Thank you, Arizona, for praying for us. We need your prayers because we are sinners saved by grace.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
And we have been changed by encountering Messiah, the desire of all nations. Mm. Well, before Stephanie leads us in our study today, we want to invite you to sing with us our theme song. We're not allowed to sing here in the studio because of restrictions, but you can sing with us. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let's sing together.
Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous mend his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him.
You know, I've really come to appreciate that theme song, Seek the Lord While He May Be Found. And Stephanie, why don't you lead us in a powerful study today? Lead us in prayer as we begin.
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to learn from your word and to study one of my favorite topics, and that is the Messiah. And Amen. As we read, may it not just be words and ink on paper, but something that we can carry with us and impact our future. Yes. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
This is one of my favorite topics, and it is on the Messiah, the desire of all nations. Every person has a desire, mm-hmm. a desire for Jesus, for God. Mm-hmm. They have a spot that only God can fill. Sure. And there are times in our lives when we haven't connected with that desire of all nations, but other things have gotten in the way. And we want to start there today in Isaiah chapter 59. We'll be looking at verses 1 and 2, but let's just start with reading verse 1 first. And Haiti, would you do that for us? I see you
sure.
have it ready. And we'll read verse 1 and then stop, and then we'll read verse 2, okay?
Okay, I'll be reading from the New King James Version, and it says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy that it cannot hear."
That's good news.
It is good news. It is very good news. What do we learn from that, just one verse? Mm. What do we learn?
Anyone can be saved.
Anyone can be saved. How about God's ability? Salvation and the ability to hear. He's able to save and he's able to hear. Mm-hmm. But, says verse 2, continue on, Haiti.
All right, it says, but your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear.
But what? What's happening here in verse 2? Go ahead, Jason.
Our iniquities, our sins, we're in a situation now where we're separated from God because of the choices we've made, our desires. You made the reference to we have different desires. And you see here in the historical context of Isaiah, he's in kingdoms where the people are choosing their own desires, whether in the religious sense or political sense. They're living for their own material possessions. They're not living for their faith in God.
Mm-hmm. All right, Lisa?
I would say God hasn't moved, but we have.
Exactly. So I'm hearing that it's a reference that it's not God who's hiding himself and pulling away, separating himself from us, but it's us.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
How do we know that's true? Biblically speaking, someone take me to that. Tell me which verse you would go to.
Well, I would go back to Genesis.
You'd go back to Genesis. Yeah. Okay, Lisa, take us there. Genesis.
This would be
chapter
Genesis,
3.
Chapter 3, verses 8 to 11.
Yes, let's
That's
do that.
That's the fall of man. Yeah.
Okay. Yes. Right. Genesis chapter 3, verses 8 through 11. And just to give us a context there, in Genesis 1 was creation, right?
Yeah.
Genesis 2, we hear more about the creation of man. And then in Genesis 3, and of course other things, in Genesis 3, at the very beginning, there is deception. Mm-hmm. And then there is a fall. There is sin enters.
Yeah.
What happens then in verse 8?
Okay, I'm reading from the New King James Version. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, "Where are you?" So he said, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat?"
Now, isn't that interesting, his question there? Who told you you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree? He knew that is what would cause a person to feel naked. Mm-hmm. Now, they were naked before, weren't they?
Mm-hmm.
But for some reason, what did they choose to do when they heard God walking?
To hide.
They chose to hide.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
When you hide, where do you normally, is it normally in light?
No.
Mm-hmm. No.
No. Where do you hide?
In darkness.
In darkness.
Where someone can't see you, where you can't be discovered.
All right. Mm-hmm. So this sin has now separated, put a natural barrier between them and their God, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm.
So there's no question that all of us have sinned, right? Mm-hmm. That's not a question.
Mm-hmm.
When we come to that point in our experience where we recognize there is this separation between God and I, what is the response that we should have? Biblically speaking, what is the response that we should have? Travis.
We should run back to the cross. But it's not a natural feeling at all. It's actually you feel like Adam and Eve, like you want to run.
Yeah.
But I love the picture we have in Genesis because they've just sinned. And Jesus is seeking them.
Mm-hmm.
In our previous studies, we're talking about him finding the lost lamb, the shepherd going out looking. God is seeking them. And so we just need to run back to him because we just heard that he's ready to hear and his arm is not weak that he cannot save.
That's right. Yes, Jason.
So I think of 1 John 1:9.
All right. Would you take us there? 1 John 1:9.
Yes. I have the New King James Version here and it puts it like this. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
So what do we see there?
So there, it's kind of interesting because we talked about, you know, this whole iniquity, is God separating or are we separating? Well, it's a recognition that it's a choice that we've made. We have made a mistake. So it is important for us to realize to confess, this is not God who has done the fault. We have done something. And by recognizing this, then what do? We return to God, the one who saves us, the one who wants to restore that relationship with us. And once we return to him, we confess, we let him know, he takes it and he cleanses us.
So that's beautiful. But I want us to think, what is the natural response? What is the natural response when we've sinned? Is it to run to God or run away? What is
definitely
it?
Run away. Lisa? I would say that sin brings shame, and anyone who's shameful doesn't feel like going towards the light. I think naturally we want to cover whatever it is we've exposed that's evil or wrong.
Yes. Travis, did you want to say something?
I did, and so it's great to know the tactics of Satan, because the one thing he does is he tries to lure you, tempt you, that sin is pleasurable. And then when he does get you to sin and fall, he tries to convince you that God won't take you back, and both are lies.
Yes.
Amen. Thank you very much. Billy?
I was just going to say that some people actually, you know, their perception of God is a God that doesn't want to deal with sin. And therefore, they don't see even a motivation to come before God, because they say that, well, I've done something wrong. Like, God is always about, you know, doing good, so I'm in the wrong spot, so I don't think God will appreciate me or love me. Mm-hmm. So their perception of God only loving good people, I think, gets them to the point where they don't feel that, like, God will accept them.
Can you think of a Bible character who had multiple falls? Multiple sins in his life? I'll give you a hint.
Prodigal son.
Yes. Do you know who I'm talking about? And
David.
He had a, yes,
there's
David.
Several.
And yeah, there are many.
David, absolutely. And he made confession. Let's go there. I wish we could read the whole chapter, but you'll have to do that on your own time. Psalm chapter 51, and we're going to look at verses 1 and 2, and then right from there, verses 10 through 12, I believe.
And Stephanie, that's a scripture song.
It is.
This is one of the psalms. So this was a song, you say, why would it be a great thing to sing about, you know, how much we've fallen? Because he then does what we're all supposed to do, and that is to run to God.
That's right.
Rather than run away.
Exactly. Yes. And who has that? Who is ready to read? Travis, would you read that for us?
1 and 2 and then 10 through 12?
That's correct.
And I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. Have mercy on me, O God, because of your unfailing love, because of your great compassion, blot out the stain of my sins. Wash me clean from my guilt, purify me from my sin. And then 10 through 12.
Yes.
Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a loyal spirit within me. Do not banish me from your presence, and don't take away your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and make me willing to obey you.
Wow. That it is. And that's coming from someone who's saying, I know that when I ask, I will receive. This is a prayer of faith and confidence. Yes, Billy.
And you see the same language with Bartimaeus. He was a blind beggar when Jesus was passing through Jericho. And it's funny that, you know, the same reaction that David had was also his reaction. He was actually trying to find, you know, he was blind. He could only hear about Jesus in the crowd. And he was looking for Jesus. But very interestingly, the people around him who were following Jesus actually did not want him to follow Jesus. So he had some opposition against that. So that tells you that, yes, you know, your desire might be, you know, to look for Jesus, to follow Jesus, but you should expect some opposition. Some people will not want you to find Jesus. They will put roadblocks on the way in you trying to repent or trying to follow Jesus. So that can be an discouragement, but it's very important not to give up when we see these discouragements.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing. Jason.
I think it's interesting when you look here at Psalm 51, because David is acknowledging the natural response when you sin, that separation. He's saying, don't cast away your presence, don't take the Holy Spirit. So he's acknowledging we do have these feelings, we do have this want to hide from God, and yet he's saying, God, I don't want this. This is the natural desire, but no, I want you.
Amen.
Amen. Now, I'd like us to look at at two stories in Luke. In Luke chapter 15 is where we'll go. And I'd like us to look at verses 4 through 6 first. And then we'll do 11 through 14 and 20 to 24. And Haiti, do you have that?
Yes.
Let's just go ahead and read 4 through 6 in Luke chapter 15.
Okay. And I'll be reading from the New King James Version. And it says, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost.'"
Amen. Now, we've been talking about finding our way home to God, right? Mm-hmm. How did the sheep find its way home to God?
It didn't have to do anything, because Jesus was looking for it. And yeah. That is like the most beautiful thing in the world, that even when you don't realize that you are lost, he is out seeking you.
Yeah. So I would like to say that the lamb did something.
What did he do?
Meh. I think call to me.
Yes, you in know, the day of...
That's what David did, right?
That's right. Mm.
Call upon the name of the Lord. Now, I know it's reaching the story a little bit, but the lamb could have been very quiet. But the good shepherd called, and the lamb went, meh. And it's just a beautiful picture. In fact, to me, it's an outrageous picture of the love of God. Because
Amen.
He's willing to leave the 99 in the wilderness. Well, I think that's a hyperbole. Mm-hmm. But he's just saying, this one is so precious to me. So, but I think we do have to call out. That's our choice.
Travis, and then we'll go to Jason.
Raising sheep when we were young, lost sheep are not quiet. They are not quiet. They are crying out. And they're crying and crying and crying relentlessly until somebody does find them.
They're smarter than people.
Jason.
So I would say the only thing the sheep had to do is basically not fight the shepherd. You know, it says he lays it on his shoulders. So God does still give us a choice. God doesn't force us to be saved. He doesn't grab the sheep, you know, put him in chains and drag him back. Yeah. The sheep still has a choice. The sheep could still wander away and avoid the shepherd. So all the sheep does is allow the shepherd to save him.
Yeah. Beautiful.
That is a beautiful picture. Now let's go on to another section of Luke chapter 15. We're looking at verses 11 through 14. And Lisa, would you read that for us? 11 through 14 and then 20 through 24. And you can read that all together.
Okay, I'll be reading from the New King James Version. "Then he said, 'A certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, Bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet."
Mm-hmm. And you can go down to verse 24 for us.
Okay. "And bring the fattened calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to make merry."
It sounds like someone was happy. Don't you think?
Yes.
You know, I think that maybe it's possible that we believe that nothing happens in heaven. Mm-hmm. When a soul comes to God, there is rejoicing.
Amen.
In the entire heavenly age, you know, all of the choir
heavenly
is
host.
Singing, the heavenly host.
That's right.
Singing and rejoicing. So how did you see, we're talking again, how to come back, how to return to God. Mm. What happened in this story? What can we learn from this story? Travis.
Well, first, both sons were given the inheritance. Mm-hmm. So he shared with them equally, but one ran and one stayed. And the fact that the one son went and spent everything and depleted everything, you would think that, you know, you would naturally be upset that he just went away with everything you've worked so hard for. And then he comes back and he has compassion. My translation said, quick, you know, kill a fatted calf. He is so excited. He doesn't care about anything that's been done in his past. He's just happy he's home. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And to me, that's just something to rejoice about. God doesn't look at our past. Mm-hmm. He just wants us home. Mm-hmm. He said, the Bible says that Jesus came to seek and save the lost. Mm-hmm. He's in the business of saving souls, not reminding of your past and all the things that you've done. He knows about that.
That's right. He throws our sins into the depths of the sea, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's what I love about this is that the son is saying, I know my father, mm-hmm. and I'm going to go back. Mm. I'll go as a servant. Mm. And he turns away from what he was doing, and he heads home.
Yeah, right.
Mm. That he knew his father enough to know, I'm turning back, I'm going home. I read one of my favorite authors has a commentary on this, and she says that the father, even after years of sin, that had the son had been away, he knew his form, and when he saw him, he came running. Mm. He had been looking and watching. Mm. Is that phenomenal or what? Yes, yes, Billy. Yeah.
Something very important about this parable is the fact that, you know, when he turned back, there's nothing that says that he went and took a shower, cleaned himself up, or, you know, definitely didn't have shoes. There's no condition in terms of, you know, you have to be perfect in order for you to come back to God, for God to accept you.
Wow.
You go back as you are. I think, you know, he took the first step. He was not perfect when he you know, maybe smelled like pig or, you know, wherever he was working. But I think the key point is that God is looking for people, those who are lost, and he's not looking for their perfection. He's just looking for them to come back to him, however shaped they are.
That's beautiful. You know, we have to move on. Yep. I'm sorry, we got to move on. Which is one of my other favorite prophecies is Isaiah chapter 60. And we're going to see this trend. See, in 59, and we'll look at verses 1 through 3 in Isaiah 60. And Haiti, if you'd be ready and prepared to read that.
Yes.
We had looked in 59 that our sins do what?
They separate
us from God, mm-hmm. okay? And they hide. He cannot see us. He can't hear. But God wants us to do what? Mm. Come from sin into a relationship with him. Mm-hmm. Come back. Mm-hmm. So come out from hiding, darkness, into light. Make a note of that. Haiti.
All right. I'll be reading from the New King James Version 1 through 3. You said, right?
Yes.
Okay. And it says, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising.
All right. Who is this prophecy about?
Jesus.
It has to be about Jesus.
It has to. Well, that's a good answer. Jesus in this prophecy. Yes.
I think it isn't Jesus. It's, I think Jesus is the next chapter. Mm-hmm. That this is actually God's call to Israel, because he wants the Gentiles to come. They are to be a witness to the world. And he had revealed his law to them. He had revealed about Messiah coming. And his desire for them, as it is even for his people today, is that the light of his glory would shine through them.
Mm-hmm.
That I think he's actually speaking, the prophet is speaking the word to God's people. Now the question is, do they fulfill that mission or not?
Which they didn't.
Mm.
And I was actually thinking that though the prophecy is for Israel, the light is who?
Mm-hmm. The light is Jesus. He's the light of the world. But it would be, if it's talking about Israel, be a reflection of the light of God.
Right. So that's the direction, not to take us into a rabbit trail.
But the glory comes from
exactly.
God. But even Jesus in the New Testament says that we must let our light shine.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And we know from John 8 that he's the light of the world.
Exactly.
And
yes.
The light comes from him. But God's ideal for his people, even back then and today, is that his glory would be revealed through them. Mm.
That's right.
And that the Gentiles, that's those who don't know in the language of that time, that they would be drawn to God because of what they see in the people of God.
Yes. Mm. And who was it that actually fulfilled the purpose and the mission?
Jesus.
That was Jesus. Okay. Yeah. All right. Very good. So the prophecy was fulfilled through Jesus,
yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. But does that mean that there's nothing there for us today? Billy.
Yeah, I want to say that just going along the line of, you know, us, you know, being the light of the world, you know, fulfilling that prophecy, I think 15:9, if you keep on reading this chapter, it's very important because the children of Israel, they weren't practicing that.
Right.
So 60 basically tells them, okay, this is the direction you're going at. In 59, the rest of the chapter, like, there was so much injustice that God could not listen to their prayers because they would be going to the temple, they would be praying, they would be doing all those religious stuff, but in their heart, they were committing injustices. So it becomes very hard for him to accept. So I think it's very important for us to fulfill the mission of being the light of the world.
Yeah. All right. And I think we need to go to Matthew. Pastor Derek was directed us there, Matthew chapter 5, 14 through 16. He alluded to that passage that says, well, let's read it. Who has that they could read? Jason? Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16.
Have the New King James Version here, Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven.
So Isaiah is talking about arising and shining, for your light has come. Mm-hmm. In Matthew, we see that we are the light, and the light is to shine that others may see our good works and do what?
Glorify God.
Glorify God. Okay, let's turn to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. And we're looking at how this applies to our lives today. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. And Travis, would you read that for us?
And I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. For once you were full of darkness, but now you have light from the Lord. So live as people of light.
All right. My version says, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. So live as children of light. Let's go to another passage, and that would, yes.
Stephanie, I want to just say I like that translation, that you have light from the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The light. When the disciples were told, you're the light of the world, I think they looked at each other and said, really, Jesus, you're the light of the world, right? But he says, yes, but when you're connected to me, that light shines through you.
Exactly.
So I like that translation in Ephesians that you have light from the Lord, which is really light in the Lord too.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for pointing
that
out.
It's not our light. It's his light.
We're not that good.
We are not.
Let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. And Billy, would you read that for us? 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. And we're looking at how this prophecy is applicable to us today.
Sure. I'll be reading from the NIV. 1 Peter 2, verse 9 says, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light.
All right. Mm-hmm. Do you see a trend here?
It's his light.
That's right. It's his light, and it's a call from
darkness
to light. Mm-hmm. He's admonishing us, come out of darkness and come to the light.
Yes.
Beautiful. Amen. And if we stop there, we might wonder, well, how do we do that? We've kind of alluded to it, that it's Jesus. It's the light. He is the light of the world. But let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. And Lisa, would you read that for us? And we're asking the question, how is it possible then for us to do what Isaiah 60, verse 1 says, to arise and shine?
Okay. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Hmm.
God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness.
Mm-hmm. Creator.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Has shined in our hearts. This is what Derek was saying, that it might give, that it might lead others to light. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
It's reflecting that light that we receive.
Yeah.
All right. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5, 13, and 15. And Jason, would you read that for us?
I have the New King James Version here. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5, 13, and 15. Verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Verse 13. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to do for his good pleasure. And then verse 15, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God, without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world.
Mm. So how do we shine? How do we arise and shine from those verses? Mm-hmm.
Through God's Holy Spirit working in us.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Letting his mind be in us, and that we are to shine where?
In the world.
In the dark place.
In a dark place, yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. A crooked and perverse nation.
Generation. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That has to be someone other than us. And let's take a look who that someone is, mm-hmm. just to confirm it. John chapter 8 and verse 12. John chapter 8 and verse 12. And Lisa, would you read that for us?
Absolutely. From the New King James Version, then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life.
Amen.
All right. Mm-hmm. Call from darkness into light. How are we in the light?
Through Jesus.
We're following after Jesus, right?
Yeah.
I would say we're like light bulbs. You have the potential to give off light, but you have to be connected to the source.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's beautiful.
Stephanie, I like what Haiti said, connected. We're not just like following Jesus at some kind of distance. Mm. There are religious people who claim to be following God, but they're not connected to God.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But that connection, that image of the light bulb and the power source, mm-hmm. I believe when we're connected to Jesus, we will shine with the glory of God.
Mm-hmm. He says, let your light shine.
Let it shine.
Let it shine.
Right.
Travis.
That's reiterated in the same gospel, John chapter 5:15. He's, I'm the vine, you're the branch. Yes. He says, without me, you can do nothing.
No light.
So we're helpless. We're helpless without him. We have to keep that connection.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And that's a moment by moment connection. Thank you so much. That beautiful illustration. So now we're going to take ourselves from Isaiah 59, where sin had been the separation. We're just kind of recapping. And then his desire for us is to come back to him and then arise, shine. So he has a purpose, something for us to do, right? Mm-hmm. And now we're going to see what specifically we will be proclaiming. Isaiah chapter 62. And we'll look at verses 1 through 3. And Jason, would you read for us?
61?
Yes, 61, yes. Verses 1 through 3. Did
right.
I see?
Okay. So I have Isaiah chapter 61 here. I've got the New King James Version. verses 1 through 3. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified.
Mm. All right, who is referred to in this prophecy?
That's the Messiah.
Jesus.
Jesus. Messiah.
100%.
And I'd like us to look over in Luke chapter 4 and look at verses 18 through 21. Luke chapter 4, 18 through 21. And Travis, would you read that for us?
And I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, and that the blind will see, and that the oppressed will be set free. And all the time the Lord's favor has come. Mm-hmm. He rolled up the scroll, handed it back to the attendant, and sat down. All eyes in the synagogue looked at him intently. Then he began to speak to them. The scripture that you've just heard has been fulfilled this very day.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine having Jesus do your scripture reading in your church? That thought crossed my mind this morning, and I thought, wow, that's powerful. And he's saying, it's being fulfilled through me today. Mm-hmm. Now, it talks about the acceptable year of the Lord. What is the acceptable year of the Lord? Let's look at Leviticus chapter 25 and verse 10. Leviticus chapter 25 and verse 10. And we'll learn there that it's actually the Jubilee, but let's learn more about that. Billy, would you read that for us? Leviticus chapter 25 and verse 10.
Okay, so I'll be reading from the New International Version. Leviticus 25, verse 10 says, consecrate the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout the land to all its inhabitants. It shall be a jubilee for you. Each of you is to return to your family property and to your own clan.
So can you describe to me what this year of jubilee was like? In a nutshell.
It was jubilation. It was a time of celebration. And we can unpack why, but this 50th year, it's why it's called Jubilee. It was a time of great rejoicing. Of course, it had symbolism in terms of the plan of salvation. Mm-hmm.
And we want to go there.
Yeah,
what
happened during that time is slaves were set free, and land was returned to its original owners. You say, well, wow, that's amazing. If you lost your land, it comes back. So we wrestle with what's the symbolism of all of that? Mm-hmm. You know, that we get the land that was lost and the captives are set free.
Yes. So what is the significance of the year of Jubilee and the plan of salvation? Travis.
We're Jesus' purchased possession. And in a sense, he does get his purchased possession back. That's the whole idea of that it's returned. What he has died for is returned to him. We are his prized possession.
Mm. Yes, Jason.
It's the time of restoration.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Jesus is restoring us back to how it was in the beginning, before sin.
Mm-hmm. Mm. And I believe that debts were also cleared in that year.
No wonder there was jubilation.
Yeah. And it just makes me think of the debt that sin puts on us and how he also cleanses us from that.
Beautiful.
And that's the greatest debt that has been canceled, isn't
it?
Yeah. It's the greatest debt. All right. Let's turn to a few verses. I'd like us to go to John chapter 8. We'll go back to John 8 here and look at verse 36. And Haiti, if you would read that for us, John chapter 8 and verse 36, because someone may not know this verse, and it is powerful.
All right. John chapter 8, verse 36. I'll be reading from the New King James Version, and it says, "Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed."
Amen. Is that good news?
Yes.
Amen.
It is. It's very good news. Mm-hmm. Let's turn now to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17. And let's see. Lisa, would you read that for us? Mm-hmm. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 17.
I'll be reading from the New King James Version. "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty."
So proclaiming the year of the Lord's favor, this is a powerful message to share with someone. Powerful message. There's freedom from bondage to many different things in our lives, right?
Yes.
There is also another proclamation. We're going to go back to Isaiah chapter 61 and look at verse 2 again. And Billy, would you be able to read that for us? Isaiah chapter 61, verse 2. And I want us to think about what is being read here. When Jesus quoted this prophecy 700 years later, we just looked at that in Luke, right? He omitted that phrase, "the day of the vengeance of God." All right, go ahead, Billy.
So I'll be reading from the New International Version, Isaiah 61, verse 2. "To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn."
Why did he omit that?
It wasn't there yet. I mean, I think that pointed to the second coming of Jesus.
Yes. Definitely. And let's go over to...
in a sense, it's the judgment, right?
Yeah.
And obviously, he will also proclaim that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because
yes.
he is prophet, priest, and king, right?
That's right.
So he will proclaim that. But at that point, he's simply proclaiming the year of Jubilee is fulfilled in your hearing right now.
Yes.
So it wasn't that he didn't know the prophecy, right?
Yeah. No.
But he's quoting that portion of the prophecy that he says is fulfilled now in your hearing.
And that proclamation, Derek, then is in Revelation 14, 6 through 7, correct? The judgment.
The whole proclamation that the time of his judgment has come.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Thank you. Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. This will shine a little light, more light on that. On that answer.
Mm-hmm.
And Travis, would you take us there? 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10.
Mm-hmm. And I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. "But the day of the Lord will come as unexpectedly as a thief. Then the heavens will pass away with a terrible noise, and the very elements themselves will disappear in fire, and the earth and everything on it will be found to deserve judgment."
So when does the day of vengeance of God take place?
It seems like it's the second coming because the elements are melting with fervent heat.
So this is a great example of needing to read the context.
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. So you can pull something out of context. Someone could read this and say, okay, the Bible's predicting a nuclear holocaust where the entire world will be destroyed. Mm-hmm. But if you go back to verse 9, there's some really good news.
There is.
Right?
Yes.
And if you go on to verse 13, there's some really good news about a new heavens and new earth where righteousness dwells.
Yes.
So I just want to make an appeal for our Hope Sabbath School members. When we read a text about things, the vengeance and burn, to read the context. Because there's always a word of hope. Because our God is an awesome God who wants to save us, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Let's go to those verses. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. And Jason, I see that you're there. Mm-hmm. Let's see where that hope is.
New King James Version says in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance.
Amen.
That is good news. That is very good news. And I'd like us, if you would read verse 13 as well.
In the New King James Version, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 13, nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells.
All right, and I think we need to go over to John 3:16, don't you? Let's look at John chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. And Billy, would you read that for us? John chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. And we're talking about the day of vengeance of our God.
Okay. And I'll be reading from the New International Version, John 3:16 and 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him.
Amen. So we often, I don't know if you, maybe I'm speaking for myself, but sometimes it's hard to put together the vengeance of God and the loving, caring, merciful, overabundant in grace, and put those two together. How do we reconcile that? All right, I see hands. Katie, then we're going to Travis, and we'll open it up.
Well, sin brings pain. It brings suffering. It brings sadness. It brings just all terrible things. And it would not be in God's character to allow sin to continue. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So like we had just read, his goal, you know, and his vengeance is not against the sinner, but against sin. Mm-hmm. Yes. And because he loves us, that's like a parent, you know. If I remember when I was a little girl, if anything would hurt me, my mom would go and she'd spank that thing. She'd slap it with her hand. She'd say, no, don't hurt my daughter. And God is coming to do that to us. He's like, you're hurting my children, and I love them with every fiber of my being, and I have to eliminate that thing which hurts them.
Mm-hmm. Yes, wow. Travis.
So sin is the separating agent between God and man, and he wants to remove and eliminate sin. And the problem is we're the object of God's love, and the thing that he hates is inside of us. And so he wants to remove that. And some will say, I want it left in me. And he has to destroy the sin because he cannot continue. A just God will not allow sin to continue. And if you're not willing to give it up and give it to him, then we would have to suffer the consequences. But what a foolish choice, because he's offering eternal life and the removal and eternal happiness. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Travis, and we'll come to Lisa after. Travis, I think you have a point there. Mm-hmm. When we have our arms around sin, and it is so close to us, when God destroys sin, it can't help but destroy that which is clinging to it. Yeah. Because we have so closely brought it to us, but God does not desire. His call for us throughout Isaiah over and over again, turn from your way, turn, come back to me, over and over again. That's what God's desire is. And so we have to keep the character of God in mind when we read these verses, that it is because he loves and cares for us.
You know, I know we've not been able to sing our song here, but Isaiah 55 has that, verses 6 and 7, has that sense of a loving parent, like Haiti said, urgently saying, seek the Lord while he may be found, because there is going to be a day of the Lord when the elements will melt with fervent heat. So that's a, maybe we can read that text.
Yes. Would you take us to that?
You want me to read it?
Yes, I do.
Well, thank you very much.
Isaiah chapter 55.
55. I'm reading from the New King James Version.
Right.
From the Bible. And I read it with the heart of a loving parent, like Haiti said. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I added the hallelujah.
I know. Praise God for that, right? Amen. That's beautiful. Lisa, you had something you
wanted to share. Pastor Derek said it so well. I think, not to add on to what he said or anyone said, but I think that, you know, a lot of us can look back at our lives and we say, thank God.
Yes.
Thank God. Mm-hmm. And at the time it was painful, at the time we dreaded it, but we're all thankful that God has been so merciful to correct us, to chastise us. And so I think when we look at the judgment, we can say thank God, because our world will be better because of it.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Yeah. From our study today, what is a takeaway that you have from our study today? Mm-hmm. Give me a one-sentence takeaway.
We need Jesus.
We need Jesus.
God loves everybody.
God loves everybody. Yeah.
God loves us and wants us with him.
Yeah. He loves us and wants us with him.
Allow God, or allow Jesus to take your sins.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Throw them in the depths of the sea. Yeah. Yeah. What a merciful God. Mm-hmm. So loving that he cares enough to spend time to actually call us.
Amen.
And to beckon us to come out of darkness into his marvelous
Amen.
Light.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you so much, Stephanie. What a powerful study today. And I want to just thank you, our Hope Sabbath School members, for being with us. And don't forget that special gift, that digital download of the audiobook Radical Evidence. Just send us an email at sshope@hopetv.org. Put free offer. We'll send a link so you can get your copy. I'm just so excited to know more about our great and awesome God.
Amen.
You?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And the Messiah Jesus is the desire of all nations. Mm-hmm. If you haven't made him your Savior, would you say today, Jesus, save me?
Amen.
And if you know someone who doesn't know Jesus yet, would you say, Jesus, use me to bring your light to them? Let's pray. Father in heaven, our hearts have been blessed today by the Word of God and by the Spirit of God. And we thank you, Messiah Jesus, that you are the desire of all nations and for your immeasurable and unfailing love. We bless your name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, thanks for joining us for Hope Sabbath School. I'm so excited. This has been an amazing series. No wonder Isaiah is called the gospel prophet. So many prophecies that give us hope that there is a Messiah, and we don't know who that is. It's Jesus. Accept him today and every day, and then go out and be a blessing to those around you.